New Yorkers are used to hearing their mayor, Bill de Blasio, speak about a tale of two cities and income inequality. Now, he's bringing that message to the heartland in speeches in Nebraska yesterday and Iowa today. Mayor de Blasio joins us now to discuss his trip. Thanks so much for joining us, Mr. Mayor.
You're welcome, Julianne.
So this is the season we're more used to seeing presidential candidates following the itinerary that you're on right now. Why the trip to Nebraska and Iowa?
Well, this trip came up because some wonderful people invited me out here. Senator Tom Harkin, who is, I think, one of the great progressive voices in this country over the last few decades, asked me to come speak at the Institute, now named for him, at Drake University here in Des Moines. And a dear friend of mine from Nebraska asked me to speak at the University of Nebraska quite a while ago. So these have been in the works for a while. Look, I'm looking for every opportunity to address what I think is the crisis of our times, which is income inequality and growing rampant inequality at that. And I have to tell you, people in Iowa and Nebraska that I talked to really were hungry to talk about this issue. They really wanted to address it. They wanted to hear what real solutions could be. And they think it's the kind of thing that should be talked about by all the presidential candidates coming through here from both parties.
Mr. Mayor, we've been hearing liberal politicians like yourself speak the language of income inequality and higher taxes on the wealthy for quite a while now. What specifically sets your message apart?
Well, I think it's the times we're living in. I think many progressives for quite a while have believed in tax fairness and progressive taxation, and certainly trying to give people more opportunity and more fairness. But I think what's different now is we're in a different economic reality than we've ever confronted. The last time you could find income disparity this bad would be the 1920s. But the 1920s led to the New Deal. We don't have anything like that on the horizon. We have income disparities getting worse all the time. There's literally no national solutions on the table in any serious way. We have a reality of an economy that's basically supporting the 1%. Since the recovery began, about 91% of all the economic gains that have been made have gone to the top 1%. A typical American family, meanwhile, the median income for an American family, even adjusted for inflation, has gone down in the last 25 years. Typical American family, literally going backwards economically. We have not experienced that before. So what I'm talking about now, I think, is in the context of a different economy and a different political reality. And the solutions have to be sharper than in the past. That's why I talk about progressive taxation. We talk about things like closing the carried interest loopholes, or hedge fund managers pay the same kind of taxes as working people pay. The Buffett rule, Warren Buffett's famous point that he should not pay less in taxes percentage-wise than his own secretary does. You know, these are fundamental ideas about tax fairness that have to be acted on quickly if we're going to address income inequality.
Mayor de Blasio, New York is one of the most liberal states in the country, and it hasn't been able to raise taxes on high earners. Opponents have said the rich would leave the city and the state and bring their tax revenue with them. How do you expect other parts of the country to buy into a tax increase?
Well, I think it has to be done on a national level. That's part of the point. First of all, I've never seen a lot of evidence that the wealthy have left New York because of marginal changes in taxation. I've talked to a lot of economists about this and experts, and actually that's one of those ideas we hear a lot, but I don't think there's a lot to back it up. What I think is true is unless you want to have a negative competition between different states and regions, you need national policy. You need one standard for the whole country. That's why I want to see us raise the minimum wage seriously in this country. And I note that yesterday, extraordinary effort around the country, the activism, 200 cities calling for where people joined together to call for $15 an hour minimum wage. Over 60,000 people participated. We need a national solution on minimum wage. We need a national solution on closing the carried interest loophole, on the Buffett rule, on ending tax credits and tax advantages for companies that ship their jobs overseas. These are the kind of things that would actually start to change the basic dynamics of our economy and give us some of the resources we need to invest in infrastructure, invest in early child education, all the things that could actually make a difference. But they have to be done nationally so you don't set up a negative competition between localities.
Mayor, you're in Iowa now. Your former boss, Hillary Clinton, has been there for a few days this week. Do you think progressives there and elsewhere are ready to get behind her now?
I think there are a lot of progressives who appreciate Hillary Clinton and a lot of what she's done. And I think there's a lot of progressives who equally want to hear a vision for dealing with this extraordinary crisis. The last time she spoke to these issues was 8 years ago when she was a candidate for president. Then, of course, she had a very different life as Secretary of State, where she didn't speak to local issues and domestic issues. She was a private citizen thereafter. Now is the time for her to formulate a vision. And I think for a lot of us, we need to hear that before we can jump forward, because it's so essential that we get it right this time. I mean, look, you could argue that unless something really jolts the political dynamic of this country, this status quo will continue for years, where the rich get richer and most people fall behind. You could have much greater income disparity going forward, and I think that destabilizes the nation. In fact, that word destabilize, that was used by Lloyd Blankfein just a few months ago, saying that he thought the income inequality dynamic was literally destabilizing the country. So I think there's lots of voices across the spectrum saying that this is a serious crisis that has gone under-recognized and under-addressed. I think it's absolutely fair to say to any candidate, show us your plan and your vision before we can make a decision on who to support.
One more quick question, if I can, Mayor de Blasio. As you know, we've had another flare-up between police and protesters here in New York City. You issued a statement earlier in the week denouncing an alleged assault that took place against a police officer on those Brooklyn Bridge protests. But we now have reports that say that off-duty officer pulled out his gun. Do you think that escalated the situation?
I have not seen any video, and I obviously want to, and if the NYPD deems it as an issue that needs to be investigated, of course, there'll be a full investigation. But I would say this. From what I've heard of that incident, some protesters who were there to raise an important issue, but need to understand they need to do it in a peaceful manner. If they're going to really dignify their movement and call for changes in the relationship between police and community, they have to do it in a peaceful, nonviolent manner. If they violate that notion and start to assault a police officer, they denigrate their movement. They undermine their message, and it's not appropriate. And I certainly am not tolerant of any attacks on our police officers. So I'll wait to get more information, but I do have every reason to believe that, unfortunately, that moment began with protesters attacking a police officer.
Mayor Bill de Blasio, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon.
Thank you very much.